Wondering what's next in your business or personal life? Welcome to Success to Significance, Life After Breaking Through Glass Ceilings, a podcast dedicated to helping you with all of life's challenges, discoveries, and opportunities. Whether you're seeking a new career, retirement, or simply wanting to make an impact in your community or the world, join Jen Duplessis and her guests as they explore how to start, what to do when you're in the thick of a change or growth, and how to leave a mark in this world after breaking through your next achievement. You are moments away from the aha you've been seeking.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to this episode. I am so delighted that you joined us today, and I can't wait to tell you a little bit about my guest. It's funny, you know, and it seems like it's this way a lot, to be honest, Austin, where I am talking to people, just doing sort of a chit-chat to say, hey, should we be on a podcast, you know, together and that kind of thing, and it ends up being that that should have been the podcast. So I think I'm going to start recording those. Yeah. Right? The only thing is we're not always in person. It's just an audio, and I like doing a little bit of both. So let me take this opportunity to introduce you to our guest today, Austin Linney. He is a former service industry, which we're going to talk about, service industry veteran for 20 years, turned serial entrepreneur. Really cool stuff that he's doing. He's a real estate investor, mindset and business coach. He is the host of another weekly podcast called Construct Your Life with Austin Linney. He's not building businesses, growing his expansive network of who's who in the leading industries, providing massive value each week with his podcast or helping his coaching clients achieve a breakthrough. He can be found training for and competing in Ironman triathlons across the country. If you're an entrepreneur wanting to start a business, wanting to improve your mindset through coaching, or just want to have a heart-to-heart conversation, how to overcome the odds, Austin can help you get to where you want to go because he's probably been where you are in a lot of facets. So welcome to the show, Austin. So happy to have you.
Thank you so much. That statement actually sounds like I have my stuff together, which wasn't the case for many years.
That's right. That's right. So let's share a little bit about that. Tell us a little bit about you.
What's interesting about me is on the surface, right? And I think this is one of the problems that I wouldn't admit to myself. My dad's a doctor. We grew up in Sugarland, which is probably the nicest neighborhood in all of Houston. Grew up next to NBA players. As I got older, we made more money, lived on the golf course. But on the surface, everything looks, it's fine. Well, when I was 17, I kept getting in trouble in school. It was either boarding school or it was to move to Fannett, Texas, which is where my mom is from, the area, which is sounds it's country.
So yeah. Just so, yeah.
And I really didn't want to go to boarding school. So I went to Fannett. And when I was there for a couple months, then my parents out of the blue told me they were getting divorced. And it was one of those things that I took ownership of the divorce like it was my fault.
Yeah, and as most kids do. Yeah.
Ultimately, it wasn't. It took me 20 years to figure that out. But that was something that I realized that at 17 really affected how I viewed myself. And then not loving school because I was super smart. I have a photographic memory and almost a recall memory. School didn't really do anything for me. So by 17, when I was still in school, I got into the restaurant business. And what they don't talk about a lot in the restaurant businesses, back in those days, it was more got into the drug business, you know, yeah. The drink, how to, you know, the alcohol led to cocaine use. Yeah. Cocaine was a gateway to meth and, you know, methamphetamines. And it's nothing to mess around with. It is a hardcore drug. And so one night a week turned into three nights a week. And then, you know, you kind of go down this path of just how we get here.
Yeah. Well, and I know, and it's kind of par for the course. I mean, I remember when I was younger, you know, we had Thirsty Thursday, right? Everybody went out drinking on Thursdays and stuff. And you wondered about the bartenders. They always looked really just drained and, you know, driven. I mean, not driven, ridden would be the word, and not for females, but just really rough. You know, they look really rough, and that's probably what most of them were experiencing. You know, if you weren't just being a waitress while you're in college and then got out and, you know, that kind of thing. So I know that, you know, took you down a long road. I mean, that was 20 years ago and went down this long road for a really, really long time. What were you doing for a living during that time when you were sort of masking this? And And could I say that you were a functioning drug addict and alcoholic? Because my dad was a functioning alcoholic, you know, and so nobody really knew. It was a mask, you know.
Oh, 100%. I mean, mm-hmm. I'll be honest, I was working 60 to 80 hours a week. I mean, it wasn't like I wasn't working.
Right.
Some things happened. I got to a point where for a 7-day stretch, I stayed awake.
Oh my God.
Still working. And mm-hmm. I wasn't eating much. An ex-girlfriend saw me. She and I probably lost like 20 pounds. And she's like, your clothes are falling off of you. Look like shit. Get your mm-hmm. life together. It kind of was really odd because we weren't together, but it snapped something in me. And so I grabbed all my stuff, moved to Austin, just on a whim. And I have a mentality when I'm done, it might take me a while, but I'm done. And so like I was done with the hard drugs, but I was still drinking. So the huge issue was staying up and all these things. I was still drinking and I was working at a restaurant. Long story short, out behind the wheel of a car, shouldn't have been, wound up getting in an accident, a one-car accident, and over a mailbox in a yard. And my car got totaled, and I had to get a ride from my friend. So he came to get me and back to live with my mom. And for like a month, still going out, still drinking, and just wasn't really like, no, it didn't faze me.
Yeah.
And came home one day, and she said, this isn't a hotel. You got to get it together. And threw all my clothes out on the porch and broke down, man. Same friend came and got me and I cried for a little bit. And he's like, you know, this 21-year-old dude crying. Dad cut me off, you know, the whole thing. And said, listen, we can't solve it in a day. We can solve it in, you know, let's put some pieces together. So we went to go hang out with some friends. It was my best friend, lived with his brother. He said, look, not much, don't have anything. We have this one room, everybody else is living in the other rooms. And I was like, what is that? So I actually stayed in the underneath the closet of the stairs.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Like that little,
So I had a fan, my clothes, and then a single mattress. And I slept in the closet for 3 months.
Oh my gosh.
So there's some soul searching moments in that closet.
Yeah. when you came out of the closet.
When you go from a 2,000 square foot house on the golf course to a 25 square foot closet, there's some moments, right, of self-reflection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Oh my gosh. So you know, I mean, like you said, you know, you're the kind of person that says, look, when I'm done, I'm done. But you have to be done. And I get that with alcoholism specifically, you know, with my father, he had to say he was done. It couldn't be anyone else. He's the one who had to make that decision. And I think we have to do that in everything that we're doing, right? Whether we're transitioning out of a job, whether we're deciding to lose weight, need to leave a marriage, right? Want to make an impact in the world. I mean, all the time, have to have that passion or that drive to make that change, you know, and that's a transition we're all kind of experiencing right now, you know, in COVID. And now we're in the new year and everyone's still saying, okay, so do we just kind of go along with this for a little longer? What do we do to make it different this year? So you obviously how long have you been sober now?
2 years and 2 days.
There you go. There you go. Nice.
So interesting, right? As I look back on that time, because let's be honest, might've got myself out of the closet, but I still drank for another 20 years, right?
Yeah.
The main reason for that is I still was fighting the world. The world did this to me.
Yeah.
You know, my choices, my actions didn't get me here, right? And yes, I might have had a hard work ethic, which got me out of I took a construction job. That's something my parents instilled in with me. It's like, you work hard no matter what. So mm-hmm. I was always working hard. I wasn't working right. More importantly, I wasn't working for me. I was working to prove a point to my father, to my mother. And mm-hmm. when I turned 36, I joined a mastermind. Enough. And it was the first time I was around people who were successful, were sober. I'm dead serious.
Yeah,
it's like the weirdest thing to say. Coming from the restaurant business, everybody drank. It's so socially acceptable that you don't see it.
Well, aren't you exactly what the five people you're around, right?
100%. 100%. And the small-minded victim mentality, complaining about the guest, staying in this comfort zone, when I started getting around these amazing real estate investors, these people that had 30, 80 Airbnbs, were just crushing life, being good fathers. I had a guy, I'm not going to lie to you, he's not the best guy to deal with. He don't mess around. He has a crazy story being chained to his closet when he was a kid. Like, his parents are really crazy, right? But he helps people, right?
Yeah.
He said, Austin, can I ask you a question? The same thing has been happening for the last 21 years. What ownership? You blaming yourself for your parents' divorce for 21 years, you taking of that moment? Because there's a moment and there's all the stories you create.
Right. Yeah. There's that trigger. Yeah. So what was that moment? And what was that ownership?
That was ownership that I, as a son, did not ever take ownership of how I treated my stepmom and my dad. And I called him. I said, listen, I haven't really spoke much, but I want to let you know that I'm at a point right now. I take full, complete ownership of what I did and change it here today, regardless of the relationship that we had moving forward. I want to start down a positive route.
Right.
And long story short, we have a long conversation. And I swear to God, I remember the day where I was. It felt like these shackles of like 80 pounds released off my legs. That being said, it took me 2 months for it to really hit home. We're on vacation, was at an Airbnb, it was 8 a.m. in the morning, overlooking a lake. It was real foggy. I was listening to music and I was just out there by myself. I had a full-on breakdown, I mean, crying the whole nine. But I, in that moment, said, it's okay. It's okay to forgive yourself the last 20 years. Side note, found out some stuff about my parents' divorce that wasn't the reason. That
right,
was
of course not. Of course not.
So, but here's the kicker. This is what people don't tell you. The story I've been telling myself for 20 years was not the case anymore. Right. So now I was lost that I don't even know who I am. Then you had to rediscover yourself, construct your life.
So, yeah. I know, but that's what I love about that. And and you and I were talking about that too, you know, just because my father was an alcoholic too. And, they stayed together until they died and all that, but it wasn't pretty. It wasn't pretty. And I think I mentioned to you when we were chatting the first time, you know, is that I stopped proving and started living. That was sort of the catalyst that me, like, you're doing construct your life. I was like, just stop proving and start living, because I was living for everyone else, trying to prove to everyone else that I would not be like my father. That was my limiting belief and what drove me, you know, to do everything I did. And I'm so glad that you came out of that. And I know that forgiveness, you know, personal forgiveness is probably the biggest thing we all have to learn, you know, in life, is to forgive ourselves. I think people are looking out all the time saying, well, I don't know if I want to forgive them, or, you know, if I forgive them, I want to make sure they know I'm going to forgive them so they know that I've done that great thing to them. to them. And that's actually not forgiveness. That's making amends, right? And forgiveness is they don't even know they hurt you, and you just forgive them, and you forgive yourself for the way that you've been reacting to it. You know? And so, because that's the barrier, needs to be, you know, released. So you then did all, you know, did that, and, you know, had a couple of these breakthroughs and things, and, you know, now. Obviously, you've been in Airbnb. You and I talked about Airbnb. We both do Airbnb. Yeah, my house is Airbnb'd all the time. Matter of fact, this weekend will be Airbnb'd. And so, yeah, somebody's finally getting married. I guess they had to wait till January or something. Yeah. But I don't know. 01, I don't know what the numbers are. There's some special number that's coming up this year. 2121. Yeah, 212121. But anyway, they're getting married this weekend. So you've done a lot of Airbnbs. You sort of made that switch, you know, although you were a sommelier. You're a master of your craft. Do you miss it?
You know what I tell people? I'm so far removed from the drinking that I don't even think about it anymore. I won't drink again. I'm romantic about alcohol, romantic about food, because I was a chef. So I still serve drinks, my mentors and my friends, when I'm hanging out with them. And I make drinks by smell, you know, and still go to wineries. We have a mastermind event there in 30 days. I'll still go to France and go through the winery, because I love the people that make alcohol, and I love the story behind it.
Yeah, there's always a good story. Yeah.
It's just not for me anymore. You know, there's a little Irish in me. Maybe it just doesn't suit with me. And I'm still romantic about how they make it and the people it serves. And I still tell people about wine all the time. So it's not a big deal. Just for me, I feel so good now, right? I've lost 65 pounds. I've lost 8 pant sizes. Yeah. Why would I ever go back? Right. Yeah. And I think what's hard for people is they think that need, right? The need for it never go away. I promise you, with enough work and enough time and with enough dedication and personal, you know, self-discipline, that need will go away. And that's what I have to tell everybody is that you're not going to feel a tug on your heart eventually. Like, I don't know when and I don't know how, but ultimately there, you know.
Yeah. You don't want to put yourself in situations and stuff either, you know. You know, when did you start investing in Airbnbs? And was that part of this that you've been around? I don't know. How long have Airbnbs been around now? I've been Airbnbing for 4 years.
The initial business of Airbnb has been around for, you know, 100 years. But the Airbnb, the company in the space, about six, 7 years. We started out traveling when we were in Europe. I was like, man, this is cool. We traveled the whole way. We went, like, it's a funny story. I stayed at a home away place in Costa Rica before Airbnb even launched.
Even existed.
So I was like, the thing, I guess I'll try it out. And so that was interesting. That's a whole nother story. But
I think we all have stories, especially overseas, right? I mean, we stayed at an Airbnb in Paris. I got to tell you this story though. I mean, you can tell your story too, but we stayed at this Airbnb in Paris and it literally was right down the street. Like, I don't know. It's hard to count in Paris because they don't really have houses. They have buildings and they're connected and, you know, and all that stuff. We were just a block down, maybe a 5-minute walk, the Eiffel Tower, right, for the whole, everything for the Eiffel Tower. Perfect location. Perfect, perfect, perfect. You can see it from the room, you know, everything. So excited to go. It was our 30th wedding anniversary. I think, 30th wedding anniversary. My husband had just had 3 heart attacks. He had 3 heart attacks 6 years ago. Well, it'll be 7 years here in a month or so. But he had 3 heart attacks within 3 months. And here we are. So he had the heart attacks like March, May. And here we are now going on this, you know, our thing for 30 year anniversary and going to Europe for 30 days. I have all this baggage and luggage and all that stuff. And we had planned it out. So we would stop at an Airbnb that had a washer and dryer so that I could only take half the clothes, right? None of the weather matched what the weather forecast was anywhere we were at. Anywhere. This didn't matter. I was going to wear a cute little dress in Paris, and we ended up freezing our butts off and having to change our clothes 3 times because it's pouring rain and all this stuff. Here's the funny thing about this. He said it was on the 4th floor. He didn't tell us that it was a winding staircase, no elevator, after my husband just had 3 heart attacks. And I'm a little thing. I'm only 5'4", you know, I weigh like 110 pounds. I'm trying to pull this luggage that weighs almost more.
and I'm sure in the moment that you and your husband are having the nicest conversation.
Oh, no. It's like, you gotta be kidding me. What the, you know, all this stuff. And then they had these rules about leaving your luggage down in the bottom, that they would just take it and throw it out on the street if you left your luggage down there. So one of us was watching the luggage. One of us was kind of doing the thing. And oh my God, it was hilarious. And there were many of the places that we stayed that were just, you know, stories that are similar, but look at the fun stories. That's why we're telling them.
I actually have a similar one, 34th floor. My ex-wife, who I was with at the time, doesn't get on elevators.
Oh my gosh.
It was 2 separate staircases that didn't go to the same areas.
Right.
So we couldn't find her for a while because she went, I swear to God. And the room was like 200 square feet, maybe. Like, it was a thing. It was beautiful view.
Someone's going to write a book about it. Yeah. Someone's going to write a book about, you know, stories at Airbnbs, and, you know, the funniest things that happen at Airbnbs. But we had someone who got bit by a snake here at our house.
Oh, my goodness.
They reached in to turn on the grill outside and got bit by a black snake. I mean, I can't prevent that kind of stuff. It's the country. You decided to come out to the country. I can't prevent a bear from walking up. I can't prevent, you know, whatever. But yeah, it's kind of funny. So, okay. So you've got how many Airbnbs now? Because you've got quite 35.
Funny enough, we actually manage Airbnbs.
That's right. That's right. I remember you telling me.
I started with three of my own. We're all in San Antonio, and then joined up with these guys from California about 2 years ago. Scaled up to 26 and seven mm-hmm. states. That's a whole nother. There's many
discussion. I know.
There's many cry moments and cities I'm not even sure I know anybody in. So that was a very learning experience, because this is in life in general. I think we as people get to a place, right? 26 Airbnbs in seven states where we thought we wanted to be. Then when we're there, we are mad as hell. We realize we're the ones that wanted to get there.
Yeah.
It may not be what it looks like in our mind's eye.
Right. The dream. Dream becomes a nightmare. Yeah. Or something else. Yeah.
So we decided to part ways at the end of that company. And I started a new company with my business partner, where we focus on a different kind of vacation. You know, I've got 21 years in hospitality. I love experiences. I love getting a whole weekend for people. Mastermind events, yoga retreats, mm-hmm. stuff like that. So with our clients and then myself, we focus on large scale operations. So shipping container hotels, TP retreats. So I have a client who's about to buy a property in Montana on a lake. I just bought a piece of land in Colorado. So, you know, we're trying to create this network, but I'll be honest with you. The only thing that I care about, and this is going to happen, it's not a question of when, it's how I figure it out. I want international Airbnbs. It's what I want to do. Costa Rica, you know, Greek Isles, Italy. These are the things that I just love doing. And if I were to have five or six that I could visit, then I was thinking to spend a month or 2 months at a time running my business from my laptop, my coaching business, my investing. That's really where I see myself in about 3 years.
Yeah. I was talking to another colleague the other day on this podcast, actually, and he has this great saying, toes in the sand, phone in the hand.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know that I want my laptop on the sand. I just want toes in the sand and phone in hand, right? I mean, how cool is that? And I thought that was so cool. And I know that one of the things that you're looking at doing, you know, is buying like 50 to 100 acres and creating retreats on that and stuff. How far are you out from putting this all together? Because if someone's listening, they might be going,
Here's the great thing about what I do is that won't be my money.
It'll be OPM.
It'll be my client's money. So we've got the first one he's buying in like 2 months. He is a very good digital marketer, and his wife is a famous yoga fitness person. He said, Austin, I know real estate is the vehicle. He said, but if I'm going to do stuff, it's going to be fun. So we're trying to create properties that they can match what they do already by having retreats and stuff like mm-hmm. that. So these are the things that we're looking at. For me, I'm teaching myself new construction because I actually want to go build my own luxury Airbnbs, because the difference is a lot. I've seen them all, done them all, traveled in all, worked them all. The luxury market is a no-brainer purchase. They're just saying, yes, I'm going to go pay $3,000 for this weekend. So I'm actually floating around an idea of creating some entrepreneurship houses where you might travel in a network. You would have multiple houses where you would work for a month or two, and we would provide services for you. So there's a lot of different
applications. That sounds really cool. Yeah. And I think, you know, I mean, one of the voids that I can tell you, you know, from my perspective, because I do retreat and, you know, and I host a mastermind, but we go someplace, but we don't go someplace for that. That's more of a retreat for me. But the challenge is finding a large enough house that all of the clients that are coming to retreat. And I'm not saying that there's a ton, but, you know, if there's 12 people, if there's 20 people at a retreat, find enough rooms for everyone to be individual. Cause I mean, everybody's just so fussy. I'm not fussy. I'm like, yes, I'll share a room and not with a man, but with a woman. I'll share a room with a woman. So what? We'll share a room. But there are so many people who won't do that. And, you know, there's a huge void in the marketplace for that right now. And now it's even growing exponentially.
Mm-hmm. I want to know why there's a void in the market. Because everybody, this is the number one bugaboo in Airbnb. They're trying to make a house was built for a family in an event space. Doesn't work. Costa Rica has figured this out. So they have houses that have six masters looking at the view, right? Because nobody wants to feel slighted. My actual plan is to create multiple structures on the property. Everybody has their own space, but then has a community space. So that's
a commune. Well, and that's what I love about your, what do you call, I have a different name for them, but what do you call them? The trailer?
The shipping containers or the
air shipping containers? Yeah, but there's another name for it. Is it combine?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many interesting.
Yeah, my brother has one. Basically, an 18-foot trailer box, right? Yeah. Not the vehicle, the box, and delivered up to one of the properties that we own. And that's where he has stored all of his hunting equipment because they hunt on the property. So the hunting equipment's in this big combine or whatever. It's not a combine, but then you know, pulls it out. And I thought, oh my gosh, that is so cool because you can look on YouTube, on Pinterest, and see how this is like that tiny house nation kind of thing that people have done trailers for cars where you flip it down on the back and that becomes your barbecue area. I mean, they are the coolest things that are being created all over the world.
You know what the one they're doing now that I think is the coolest? And they're taking grain silos.
I can imagine. Yeah. The corn, whatever. When I was little, I used to play in those things when they weren't
full. People are paying like 20, 30 grand for like a used one. There's a secondary market just to sell the grain silos. So, I mean,
I could probably do that at my house. That'd be cool. I could just have another area of my house where there. That's cool. That is so cool. What's ahead for you in these soaring 20s that we're heading into?
What we're doing is kind of the same thing you're doing. I love getting people together. I mean, my favorite thing, one of the true goals for me this year is to step outside of the real estate sector and meet people that are doctors, you know, therapists, psychologists, stock market stuff. Because with that other, so getting that different group of people together, they're able to cross-pollinate information and ideas.
No question.
I feel like that's where the magic comes. And so we've actually got 7 masterminds scheduled next year: Tahoe, Arizona, Austin, awesome. Nashville, Utah. Then I do the ones for me, which is Costa Rica and Colombia. So those are really for me. Those would be tighter groups, but the goal is to take this, do, you know, 6 or 7 of these a year. Then I just get my friends to come and speak and everybody mingles and everybody learns, because I just had a call today. It's my favorite thing in the world. I met a kid who found my podcast, 20 years old, sophomore in college. 4 months ago, he read Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And he's like, I don't want to do what my parents want me to do. And I'm
That's right.
Let's go. Yeah. Like, you're my dude. Let's go. So we're actually something that we just decided to do the other day that we're very excited about. I keep meeting these entrepreneurs that have young kids, have businesses, or have a business idea.
Yeah.
I want to create a separate fund to invest in middle school or high school kids' businesses.
Yeah.
It's like I think financial literacy in America is terrible.
It is.
So a lot of my stock guys, the guys that do a lot of this for a living, large amounts of money, we're trying to come up with a course for kids to teach them the basics.
Well, there is an organization called YEA. My husband used to call it Yay. They don't like you to call it Yay. It's YEA. It's Young Entrepreneurs Association. It's a shark tank in the United States. It's a shark tank. And I was actually an instructor for 3 years. And it's 6th graders to 12th graders. They come in, they create an idea, they create a product. Two of our students were on Shark Tank. One was funded by Shark Tank after they won the national for themselves, and then went on to Shark Tank. So really, really, I mean, they're so innovative. They're so smart. A lot of them come from the STEM programs, you know, for the girls, and then the guys are all into gaming. But oh my God, what tons of money gaming! I found out. But yeah, I mean, they just need the push and the whatever. But it's very isolated to chambers of commerce. That's where it comes from, the YEA program. So yeah, so go look at that program. You'll maybe model or not model and give you a suggestion. But I think that's powerful that you're doing that, you know, and I think that kids need it. No, it's the equivalent of trade school nowadays. because there's no, I mean, it's so hard to find trade school, you know, mechanics and plumbers, which we need all that. But yeah, it's like not finding it, you know, for these kids.
You know what's interesting? We were talking this day, and I think this is one of the disconnects. I hope we get back to it. We've created this moniker around money, right? And, mm-hmm. and who doesn't want money? I want freedom.
Yeah. That's not success.
I want houses. Yeah. But understand that with the responsibility of said dollar amount that you're trying to get to, also requires you to be a boss, health insurance, got to oversee people. I think there's a number that we have to get to in our own head, right? A benchmark. And when we get there, then we can make a decision from a place of strength instead of wanting.
Right. And I think desire and need and dream. I think your masterminds, you know, I mean, I'm a mastermind facilitator, you know, I'm certified. So masterminds are meant for that. I mean, they're for other people to see the outside in and, you know, see things that you don't see. And I think that's incredible because that, especially if you hone in on, and I love that, construct your life, build a lifestyle, not a bank account. You and I've talked about that before, you know, with my programs as well. We both kind of talk in the same area. I think we just have different types of clients. We don't.
So it's the truth because as I've gotten masterminds and as I've met my mentor, all my mentors are in GoBundance. I have dudes out in LA that do $130 million deals. When you sit down with them and you're face to face with them, you realize, and they'll tell it to my face, you are no different than me and you. I just got started better mentors. That's when you wake up to the fact that it's all possible. Everything's possible. There's no ceilings. And when you can wrap your head around that, and then more importantly, in the back of that, daily habits locked in on who you are, you're good to go.
Well, and I think that's probably one of the best things to do. You know, I love Atomic Habits, right? There's a lot of different, I mean, he regurgitated a lot of some, you know, the other people. He just made it simple for everybody, right? And you're getting it. Oh, I thought you were getting the A. I have all my books alphabetized. So when I want to talk about a book, I have it.
I just finished.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. That's cool. You know, I think that's where it starts for everybody is, you know, developing good habits first, because that's what's going to, you know, create success down the road, the good habits. You can't be in bad habits. And this is why the Bible even says this, you know, is that, well, in so many words, you know, first you have to manage $100 before you can manage a million, right? And that's a habit. That's a habit. So get to the point where you can manage, you know, small amounts of things before you start taking on those grand things. And, you know, you're never going to be happy if all you want is, never, you know, years ago, I've been in business for 4 years, right? Mm-hmm. Years ago, the magic number was, I want to make $100,000 a year, which is now kind of funny because now everybody wants to make a million. What happened to 255, 17? Like all of a sudden, everybody wants to make, I have to make a million. The spread from where you are now to where you want to be, you have to be cognizant of that spread, because that spread could take you all the way to happiness.
And more importantly, you know, my favorite saying is, you got to be married to the process, divorced from the result. Ultimately, as my dad said, sorry if this offends anybody, you know, making 275 and 375 is pretty much the same thing. You know, he said to, like, Austin, there's only so much stuff you can buy. Yeah. Like, you know, and he said, but what time restraint is that going to put on you, right? To create that, how many more employees are you going to have to manage, right? And I tell everybody all the time, anytime I meet any 20-year-old, every moment you're wasting not creating passive income, not creating options, ultimate revenue.
Not connecting
is a minute in a day you're taking away from your future kids. I've met a million 50-year-olds. I coach a couple. I met a million 50-year-olds that wish they would have found investing or a different avenue in their 20s, and now they're having to trade time for money. They're not being able to see their kids at the recital and stuff. You know, and they would just shake that 20-year-old and go, just go get it. You know? And that's a real conversation that you could retire by 30.
My son is. So just turned 35.
He had a great
you
mom.
Know, but he actually could have retired when he was 27, but he hasn't retired yet, but, you know, he's worth a couple hundred million. Mm-hmm. Couple hundred million.
I want to ask you a question from a mom to a son. I ask you a question from a mom to a son. Is that who, and there's no right answer. Is that who he is? That's who you laid out the roadmap I'm just interested.
It's both. It's actually both, because I've always been very systematic and process driven, you know, looking for passive income, had my fingers in a bunch of different things, businesswoman, right? All of that. And, you know, we help them. In fact, we did in today, even we're now 8 years into doing some stuff, you know, on his own. He's been married for 10, but we're 8 years into. We still meet weekly and talk about what's important in the five different areas that everybody always talks about, health and all that, right? So we hold each other accountable. I started doing that with him in college because he went to play football. He was the quarterback at a college, and you know, he had schooling, which he had to do really well, then the playing, right? Then the films, then the studying, and he has to do more of it when he's a quarterback. And I said, you know, you have to start and I call it rhythm, you know, you have to get in a rhythm of patterns and good habits right away. And so he started getting in that rhythm. My daughter's in that rhythm as well. In fact, I introduced my son to options trading, which is what he teaches people how to do, is options trading. I introduced him to it. But he took it there because of the habits that he had developed and seen mom and dad develop, right? And watching us fail, right? Or go backwards and saying, okay, go to self, don't do that, right? So he's seen all of that and just took, you know, some of the better pieces. Now it's not that he doesn't have any failure. He has failure. You know, he has some team issues right now. That's mm-hmm. team issues, like managing people. But, you know, he knows that all problems can be solved, you know, and it's just work around it. And my daughter's just like that too. You know, she was 33 2 days ago and wildly successful in her business as well. But she keeps measuring herself to her brother, which I can't stand. You know, because success is just, you know, the eye beholder, and she's just a lovely, lovely woman from the inside out. And that's priceless. That's priceless. But yeah, so it's a little about, you know, he had the drive of the entrepreneurship was in him, but we gave him the roadmap.
What's interesting, tie it all together with the coaching that I do, is that he was available the information.
Yeah. Yeah.
Didn't mean, absolutely. You know what I'm saying? It didn't mean that he took everything. He nope. was open, right? And so, yeah. Here's the thing about me, is that no matter if I was headed down the wrong path or the right path, it was always open. Didn't mean I always listened or took it in. I always heard it. So that's one of my old business partners said, look, no matter where you go, said, we tell you something and then the next day you fixed it. Like I might not want to hear it in the moment, but I hear it all. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, Greg Reed, Dr. Greg Reed, who owns and is the founder of Secret Knock. Now, Greg, you know, and I'm in one of his masterminds. And one of the things that he says is that if you go to the sand, to the beach, right, and you pick up a pile of sand, there's sand that will flow through. You got it. You heard it, but you don't have to keep it. You know, and keep what's good. But be thankful what you got. Don't yeah, but everything.
Love that.
Don't yeah, but. In fact, it's not allowed in mastermind. It at all. There's no yeah buts. You have to keep that at the door. You can't say, yeah, I tried that, but and thank you. Thank you. Maybe you let that one go. Maybe you let that one sit there for a little bit, right? And maybe tweak it a little bit. But it's just, I thought it was really cool. And it's just, and I'm always reminded of it. I'll take it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Now let me sort it. Figure out what's going to work best for me. And I think that's what you're saying is, you know, like being open. So I absolutely love that we're, you know, having this conversation. And again, what you do for a living is, you know, creating this passive income and it's active until it becomes passive. You have to actively work on it in order to get it to the point where it's passive. And, you know, and I think that that's a really great story for everyone to hear is, you know, overcoming the diversity that you've overcome over time and then really just having this positive outlook. And it sounds like you're creating something that's going to be brand new. It's going to be, what do they call it? They don't call it sticky, but it's revolutionary. I'm excited to see where it goes. I can't wait. And, you know, I just want to say thank you so much for joining us today and being with us. We could talk forever, you and I.
Yeah. Oh, it's my pleasure. And, you know, ultimately, what's interesting, the path you, I think this is most important to me. I wasn't this way. I forced everything. This is how it was supposed to be. It's supposed to be this way. What I realized is that I was strong enough to go through everything I want. You know what's really odd? Alarming how all my coaching clients are going through the same thing. Because my coach says, you coach what you've been through.
Yeah, your mess is your message.
Mm-hmm. I think it's important to understand that was the reason. So now I have much gratitude that this is what I get to do all day. You know, something from an earlier, we talked in this, that my coaching clients think that I'm some special person. What they don't realize is I'm just polishing off what they already had inside them. They just lost it somewhere in the moment. And it was the same with me when I met my coach and so on and so on.
Well, and all these people that have these, that are doing these big things, when they said the same thing to you, you know, look, we all put our hip pants on the same way and our shirts on the same way. And we're all the same people. It's how we direct a flashlight on a daily basis. You know, it's really where are we heading and how do we direct and what do we learn from each one of those? So Austin, if someone wants to get a hold of you, what is the best way for them to reach you?
Best way is Instagram, Austin Linney. You know, that's the way that I always answer all my DMs. I just answered, got on a call with a 20-year-old today that messaged me. And so Facebook, Austin Linney as well. I'll always answer my DMs because I'm almost addicted to helping because I just want to help so many people. And I realize that helping the person in front of me, I'm also helping them be a better father, a husband, a better brother, sister, and that helps people around them. So it's this, what I call a ripple impact.
Why make a ripple when you can make a splash?
There you go. I'm going to have to take the sand one and that one. I'm done. I got it.
Right. Well, you're helping you at the same time too.
That's what people don't understand. How do you coach so much, right? We have six today. I'm like, I don't understand why I'm helping you. I'm helping myself out too.
Yeah, because I'm hearing my own self reiterate the same things to myself, you know, as well. And so again, the name of your podcast is Construct Your Life with Austin Linney. So please go over and listen to his podcast as well. And again, I want to say thank you so much, Austin, for joining us today. It's a pleasure having you.
Thank you so much, guys.
So everybody, just as a quick reminder, please give us a good rating and write us a review. Always pay this forward. There may be someone out there that wants to hear this story and needs to hear this story to help them in their life and in their business. So until next time, we'll see you later.
You've been listening to Success to Significance with Jen Duplessis, the number one podcast for people wanting to give more value and make an impact. Loved this episode? Be sure to subscribe right now at www.jenduplessis.com/S2S for more stories, strategies, and thoughts to help you gain significance and success. And if you like what we're doing, don't forget to give us a rating and review so we can continue to bring you the best content possible. Join us next week for another breakthrough episode. Thank you for listening.